the Holy Spirit message second part. I'd just like to invite her up to the stage now to give us that message, and may we be refreshed and fired up for God. Hallelujah.
Amen. Let the presence of God invade your life. Okay, thank you. Let the presence of God invade your life. Is that spoken to your spirit? Not all the problems, not all the things that are happening, not what's going on, not what you think about yourself, but let the presence of God invade your life. Is that what you want? Just where we are right now, just hold your, just lift your hands to God. Just let everything else go right now. Just let everything go. There's always stuff, you know, there's life. Let it go right now. And I just pray that the presence of God will invade your life. Invade your life right now. Invade every part of your life right now. Just let it touch you. Let just hope come into your life. Knowing that His promises will come to pass. Some of you need new hope this morning. Your hope is in Him. And He's invading all your circumstances right now with His presence. Just tell Him you're loving where you are right now. Just say, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Just tell Him how much you love Him. Oh, God. You know, we can't offer Him much else but to actually sit on His knee and look at His face and tell Him how much we love Him. Do you know that's what He wants from us more than anything else? Just telling Him that we love Him. Thank you, Father. Oh, Father, I pray, Lord, that You said that signs and wonders will follow the preaching of Your word. So, Father, I'm believing for signs and wonders this morning. Father, I'm believing for lives to be changed, but most of all, lives to be encouraged. But even more than that, lives that will be equipped to be able to speak to the dead bones in other people's lives. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm back again. And you all came back. Hey, that's good, isn't it? Praise God. Last week I spoke about representing Jesus with signs and wonders. This morning I want to speak about representing Jesus with the anointing. With the anointing of God. But I've added something to that. With the anointing, not adrenaline. There's a difference, isn't there? It's amazing. Because often we can move in adrenaline. We can all do that. But God wants us to move with the anointing of God. You know, this anointing is the same word that's used in the ministry of Jesus. It's the same word. It covers the same miracles. As I said last week, my heart is to see a lot more miracles. Is that your heart? That is my heart, to see a lot more miracles. My heart is to see a lot more salvations. My heart is to see a lot more people repent. My heart is to see a lot more people set free. My heart is to see people made whole. But more than that, I want to see communities changed. I want to see our nation changed. I want the whole radar of our nation to change. And you know what? As we let God's presence invade our heart, that can happen. See, we need to represent Jesus with anointing, not adrenaline. Amen? I know I shout, but that doesn't mean to say it's the anointing. We've got to be careful. See, I've ministered many, many times, thousands of times probably, and I now know the difference when I'm actually moving in the anointing and when I'm not. I don't purposely do that. None of us do. But I have learnt when I'm moving in the anointing, when I'm not. And when I'm moving in my own strength and when I'm moving in God. See, I've seen the fruit when I move in the anointing. And I've seen the barrenness when I don't. So how do we build anointing into our lives? I'm teaching you a bit this morning. You know, How do we build that into our lives so it's not just us moving in adrenaline? You know, one thing I've found out over all these years, there's no shortcuts to the anointing. There's no shortcuts to hearing the promptings of God. There's no shortcuts to hearing His voice, His very mild voice at times, a quiet voice. There's no hasty methods of acquainting ourselves with the Lord. You know, there's one thing that a lot of us struggle with, and I know I did, and I probably spoke about it last week, is praying. Anyone have any struggle when you're praying? Why do you start praying fervently, then you think about lunch? Come on. It's true. I tell you, this worship in these churches is exceptional, and I'm not a flatterer. But I'm in many churches, and the worship in this church is exceptional. But I reckon if I asked you all to hold up your hands, even in that worship, you thought about something at home or something. Come on, isn't it true? I mean, it's absolutely true. That's the struggle we have. See, to pray in the Spirit at times is a big struggle because we're praying and all of a sudden all these thoughts try to come into our mind because Satan hates you praying. You understand that? He hates you praying. He'll do everything to distract us from praying. It's not us, it is him. Because he knows the power of effective prayer. The enemy hates effective prayer. So every time you try to worship, he will try to come and attack your mind so you're not worshiping. Who's seen the picture of the war room? Not many? Amazing. I thought it was one of the most amazing films that I've seen. A full-on Christian film that came on the top of the ladder in America in all films for the month. How's that? A full-on Christian movie. Well, I loved it because in that picture, if you haven't seen that picture, it's a struggle. It's a mother that's learning to pray because things are going really wrong with her marriage. So the older lady said to her, you know, you need to learn to pray. And I love the way it happened because this is how it happens with us. So the woman said, you know, go into your closet and pray. So she literally sits in the closet. But, you know, she's sitting in the closet with everything around her and it's really funny. And she's like all of us. She doesn't know what to do. So all of a sudden you see her change this chair. Then she gets another chair. Then she changed position. Then she starts cleaning her smelly shoes in the closet. And in the end, after all the things that she does, trying to concentrate on God, all of a sudden her child comes home with a friend and they see her sitting in the closet eating chips. Because she got to the point, she didn't know what else to do. But it's interesting. What she did do, she realized that she had to empty her closet. Next thing, she's cutting all her clothes out. And it's a big thing about her smelly shoes in the picture. It's quite funny. And she takes all her smelly shoes out and she takes everything out of the room, everything that was distracting her so that she could pray. And you know, the only way we're going to pray is when we get rid of some distractions in our life. When we believe that God really loves us, when we believe that God really answers our prayer, really God is a miracle working God. Amen? We need to get rid of those distractions. And as she got everything out of the closet, she learned how to pray and she started to pray. And I tell you what, it was incredible because you know what? Persistence is the answer to breakthrough. Who knows that you pray once and your husband doesn't change immediately? Women do because we're so submissive. See, we need to sensitize ourselves to the Spirit of God. You know, and how do we do that? By knowing our Father better. So as we spend that time in our closet, no, I haven't emptied my closet because actually I haven't got a walk-in wardrobe and I can't sort of fit in. So, see, the enemy does not want you to be strengthened. In 1 Corinthians 14:4, it says that we are to speak in tongues and edify ourselves. What does that mean, people? It means to build ourselves up. The enemy doesn't want you to build yourself up. He wants you to come under the distractions of the enemy. This is why we need to speak in tongues. I do it most of the time because really half the time there's so much going on in the communities and where I go, I really don't know what to pray. So I just speak in tongues. But, you know, and it also miracles come out of that. But God wants me to edify myself and he wants you to edify yourself because he wants you to be strong. Amen? Praise God. When I shifted, I've been in the Apostolic Church since 1973. I was two then, okay. I'm telling fibs again. I tell fibs all the time. No. And I was in the Apostolic Church in the Bay, in the city area and the Bay, in the one church there. And through circumstances coming down south, we actually shifted to another Apostolic Church. Now, the first Apostolic Church I was in, we learnt the Word. The Word, the Word, the Word, the Word, the Word. We were taught under Pastor Robin Cullen, integrity, 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 integrity. Another thing he tried to teach myself and Vicky was submission. We didn't do very well, but we were trying. But we were taught the Word. And I worked and worked and worked. I ended up working in the church office for 8 years and all that kind of stuff. But I worked and worked and worked and worked and worked. As I said last week, you know, it got to a point in my life when God said, get off the merry-go-round of life. So we ended up going to the Melville Church under another pastor and his wife. And it was interesting because Vicky and me had sort of, we'd been, you know, I'd known her since she was 19. She'd gone overseas. And somehow we both ended up in this Apostolic Church in the south, in Melville actually. You know, south of Melville. But, you know, we ended up in that church at the same time. And then we got a call from Isla Houston, the pastor there. And she said to me, to Vicky and me, I want you and Vicky to come and pray with me once a week. Once a week. And so I rang Vicky and I said, have you been asked to come and pray for once a week with Iola? She said, yes. Well, I said, I ain't doing it. I said, you know, because I hated prayer meetings. You know why I hated prayer meetings? Because everybody would start praying and I never even heard what they said because I was thinking about what I was going to pray. Come on. Am I right? I'm always right. And by the time it got to my turn, they'd all prayed it. So there's no way I was going to this prayer meeting. But I tell you, Vicky and me went to this prayer meeting. You know why? Because we're too scared not to. So we ended up at this prayer meeting. And it was amazing, the first meeting. And it was different. She said, don't talk. Start listening to the Spirit of God. It was amazing. She taught us how to hear the Spirit of God. It was amazing. In that first meeting, you understand, you know, I didn't know this gifting was upon my life. This is going back a long time ago. And, you know, and all of a sudden I started to see things. And interesting, I saw something about her family. And I'm glad it was good, eh? and about someone in her family and how it would be all going to happen in a week. She said, come on, speak it out, speak it out. You know, and I was scared stiff. But you know what? By the end of the week, it all happened. And, you know, it just built up and built up and built up. And I'm going to tell you, out of that prayer meeting, Vicky Simpson's just been over to Holland and everywhere. She would be one of the most utmost prophetic voices in our nations of the world today. And you know what that come out of? A little prayer meeting with Isla and myself once a week. See, we positioned ourselves. We didn't want to, but we actually positioned ourselves. We had to position ourselves under the hand of God. Under the hand of God. Because he's the only one that can get rid of those character deficiencies in our life. He's the only one that can do that. That's why we need to position ourselves under the hand of God. You know, who wants to see a breakthrough in their life, in their situations? But most of all, I want to see a breakthrough in my community, my neighbors, the people in my street, wherever. Isn't that right? We need to get a greater revelation that the anointing is the key to the power of God. The anointing is the key to the power of God. It's a spiritual force that accompanies the Holy Spirit, that empowers us to do God's work. Did you hear that? See, the anointing is for every believer, wherever you are, whenever. You know, it's always, the anointing will empower you, no matter what you're going through, the anointing will empower you. We witness to people. Are we witness out of our own strength? Are we witnessing with the anointing of God? I tell you, there's going to be a difference, because I know the one touch or one word from the anointing of God can change someone's life. But it's got to be from the anointing of God. Let's look at 1 John 2:27. Amen. Is it coming up? No. You got the scriptures? Okay. But the anointing which you have received from him, who have you received it from? God, abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it, what's that word say? It. The anointing is it. The anointing is not a person. The anointing is it. Can you see that? And just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. See, the anointing is distinct from the Holy Spirit. The anointing is referred to as it. Can you see that, people? Okay, let's look at John 14, 16 and 17. John 14, 16 and 17. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he, who's the Holy Spirit? He. Actually, I try not to say that Holy Spirit, because I don't say that Charlie, because Holy Spirit's a person. Isn't that right? But I keep forgetting, but it's Holy Spirit. That he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. The Holy Spirit is only ever referred to as he. Can you see that? Not it. The anointing is not a person. The Bible says the anointing is like oil. See, the anointing of God enables us to accomplish amazing things. Way beyond our natural ability. We're not going to change this world with natural ability. We're not going to bring Jesus, people to Jesus with natural ability. We're only going to do that with the anointing of God. And you know what? That takes time. The hardest thing, the biggest thing we have is time, isn't it? But it takes time to get to know God. It takes time to listen to God. It takes time to hear his voice. And that's what we need to be doing. And it's the anointing that releases the gifts of God. It's the anointing that empowers the gifts of God. You know, every one of you got a gift. Do you know that? The Bible tells me that every one of you have a gift. Many of you, have 9 gifts. But we have at least one gift. See, God anoints us. See, it's not just about goosebumps. It's about God anointing his word to make a difference in someone else's life. We've got to be very careful that we don't mistake anointing for adrenaline. Very, very careful. Let's look at Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. And you'll see from this why we are to be anointed by the Holy Spirit. Praise God. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. We can see that, reading that verse, why it is very clear why we are anointed by the Holy Spirit. Because one word with anointing changes life. One word with anointing brings salvation and healing. And we need to pray for greater anointing on our lives. Amen? We want to see fruit. See, if we spend that time with God and really move in that anointing, our life will be more powerful. Do you know that? And fruitful. And many will be touched. Many will be set free. You know, this same ministry was shared to the disciples and ultimately to the entire church, you and me. See, as I said last week, there's only one thing we can take to heaven, and that is people. 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 1 John 2:27, I'll say it again, but this time I'm going to say it in the Amplified Version. But as for you, that is you, the anointing, the sacred appointment, the unction which you receive from him abides permanently in you. Where does it abide? Permanently in you. So then you have no need that anyone should instruct you. But as his anointing teaches you concerning everything and is true and is no falsehood, so you must abide in him. That's the secret to the anointing. Abide in him. Live in him. Never depart from him. Being rooted in him. Being knit to him. Just as his anointing has taught you to do. It's talking about teachers there, but of course teachers are anointed by God and chosen by God. But what it's really saying, that we have an anointing that abides in us, that directs us and guides us. Amen? The anointing gives us wisdom and insight to make the right decision. You know, we need to be more careful about what we listen to. Sometimes we give more consideration to what people tell us to do than what God says. You can't be a people, you know, you can't come under the fear of man. We need to be listening to God. See, if we honor people's words above God's word, it will stop us from being in a relationship where we consistently hear from God. You know, I believe in anointed common sense. And I was reading Proverbs one day and it's full of anointed common sense. Come on. Just because you become a Christian, your head's not cut off. You know, do I ask God everything? No, I don't ask him how to clean my teeth. You know, shall I clean my teeth now? He expects me to clean my jolly teeth. Or otherwise, I won't be able to pray for you. You know, come on. We are to do what we are to do. God will do what he cannot do. Amen? We've got to get hold of this stuff. Praise God. 2 Corinthians. So as I said, everybody has received the anointing. We need to tap into the anointing so that we can enter into the life of the supernatural. We need to stir up the anointing in our lives. Paul said to Timothy, stir up the gifts in your life. And people, start stirring up those gifts. Oh, but I'm not like you. I can't. Come on, the anointing abides in all of us. Isn't that what it says? See, the anointing abides in us regardless of our circumstances. I believe you can move in the power of God even when your circumstances are pretty rough. On Friday, we had to put out our golden retriever dog of 10 years. After just paying $2,000 8 weeks ago for an operation, the cancer came back. And you know what? People said, are you going to go out and preach? My earth, I'm going to go out and preach. You know? It's devastating. We are devastated. My husband's not here today because he's just too devastated because he's his friend. You know, of course it is. But we can move in the anointing no matter what our circumstances are. The anointing, you know why? The anointing is just not me shouting. It actually is there to equip us with all we need. The anointing equips you. But I'm not able. I'm too young. I'm whatever. That young man there, you know, I like that shirt. I look at T-shirts. I just suddenly thought of you then. You know what? You're an incredible young man. There's all life all about you. But you're also a deep thinker. You're quite sensitive. I love that about you. You are sensitive. You're fun too. But you are sensitive. And you do take things hard. But you know, God wants you to spend that time knowing him even more. More, more, more. And the anointing will equip you. It's the anointing. What God's saying, son, don't ever think you're on your own. I am with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And it's hard out there with all this peer pressure. You know, it's hard out. There's voices everywhere. Everybody's telling you should do this and this and this. Be a young man that hears the voice of God. It's not led by peer pressure. Not led by people saying do this or that. Of course, I believe in people being over. It's not what I'm saying. But you know, God's got his hand upon you, son. He's got his hand upon you. And I know right now you're thinking, how am I going to do all this? You know what? Easy. Just put yourself under the hand of God and the anointing will be with you and will flow out of you. Amen? Praise God. God is good. Praise God. See, the anointing is for a purpose and will always cause us to abide in Jesus. Do you know that? The anointing keeps us in Christ. That means we live in Him at all times and through Him. You know, it's in Him, by Him, and through Him. Anything else is counterfeit. Do you know that? It's counterfeit. The anointing is a powerful spiritual force that God has placed in us to enter into realms beyond our experience. I don't know when, maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago, I was in Adelaide, and just God reminded me this morning. He gave me a scripture, a new scripture that I'll read in a moment. But, you know, I was in Adelaide and I spoke on a, I did 2 services on a Saturday afternoon. And so we had 2 separate services. In one of those services, I was just preaching away. And I looked down and I saw a young girl in front of me. And, you know, she was a sweet thing, a pretty thing, really pretty thing. And I just started speaking to her life. You know, I just spoke that God was with her and all that kind of stuff. That I can't remember what I said, but I just spoke into her life. And then the next day I found out from a mother, 2 things happened. A mother came there that night with 2 children. The mother hadn't been going on with God for very long. And, you know, her mother managed to get her 2 daughters to come. That girl that I spoke into, I found out after, had been bullied for 7 years at school. But wherever she went, whatever school they put in, she seems to come under bullying. And I just started speaking into her life, you know, and I saw her countenance change. I didn't know till afterwards. And there was another girl I had no idea because she was sitting there and this other one was sitting there. I had no idea it was her sister. And I just started speaking into her. And I did speak into the dry bones in her life, but I felt it was for her body. Now, this girl's sitting there, beautiful, 20-year-old or something, 19-year-old, looking gorgeous and all that. And I could just see problems with her body. And I just kept speaking to the dry bones in her life. And that was it. Next day, I was again at the Sunday service. And the mother came up to me and said, I want to thank you. That was my daughter that you spoke to last night. You know, she's been bullied for 7 years and told me the whole story. She said she went away with absolute hope. It's not me. God wants to encourage her. He doesn't want a girl to be bullied. He doesn't want a girl to come underneath it. It's not about us. And then she said, my other daughter, you kept talking about dry bones. And she come over and I realized she was limping. And I looked at her and she said, you know, she said her hip is so bad that they said she'll be in a wheelchair by the end of the year. I said, who's saying that? She said, the doctors. And I looked down at her, and I didn't have the anointing to see. I said, one leg's shorter than the other. That's probably why the sum of the trouble is. She said, I know. It was about that much shorter. Now, years ago, I had seen someone pray for someone's leg who was shorter, and it grew. So suddenly, God said to me, pray for her leg to grow. Everybody's looking at me, you know. And so I said, sit on the chair. Oh, God, you better come. God, you better come. It was that much shorter, that much shorter. And so she sat back on the chair and I started praying. And I'm watching this leg and I'm watching this leg, you know. Oh, God, come on, come on. It started to move. The leg started to move. Everybody's around me started, and all I'm going is, God, come on, come on, come on. And that leg, and the pastor's next to me going, oh, my gosh. Oh, I'm saying, oh, my God, don't know about, oh, my gosh. And that leg just started to move. And you know what? It became equal to the other leg. Equal. Equal. Is that amazing? I tell you, I was petrified. But I don't want her to be in a wheelchair in a year. It's not about us. And you know what? She walked out of that place straight. I said, now your hip will start to heal. Because it's all about the fact that your leg is so much shorter than the other. Is that amazing, people? 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. Praise God. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ has anointed us in God. We are given the anointing. Amen? We're given the anointing to minister. Why? powerfully to other people, using the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Can you see the difference? We get so caught up in trying to do it ourselves. It's not always easy to recognize. But I tell you what, that you're moving the anointing, but you'll soon know if you're moving in the flesh, not the anointing. Why am I so strong on this? Because I learned a lesson way back in 1991. I've been to India so many times, as you know. I'm there 1.5 weeks' time, yay, with all my widows, thousands of them. Is that amazing? Speaking to all these widows' lives, I can't wait. This church supports that, so I'm excited about that. It was 1991, and I'd actually been there since, I've been there in 1984, but 1991 was my first real speaking engagement. And the fact that I'd actually gone there and I was going to carry some other woman's bag. And when I got there, that her husband had typhoid and they had to leave. Up to that point, I'd preached 19 times in my life and mostly at women's meetings. And they said to me, you'll have to take on his ministry. And so I spoke 21 times in 3 weeks. I made that message spread like you wouldn't believe. I had 3 messages. I changed it everywhere I went, 21 times, you know. So I learned hard. But, you know, in one of this, you know, I was just preaching. I don't do it like now, but in those I do 3, 4, 5 meetings a day. I mean, how stupid, but I did. And, you know, and I was so tired and I'd been ministering. And that night I had to go to a meeting way out in the suburbs. Probably if it was here, it would take 20 minutes. But I knew it was going to take me about 2 hours to get there. It was stinking hot. I was tired. I was exhausted. And, you know, and when I got in the taxi, and the woman with me wasn't coming, I was on my own. So I was in this taxi. And, of course, there was a traffic jam. 2.5 hours later, I turned up at the meeting. Now, I don't know if I came 2.5 hours late this morning, whether you'd still be here. Would you? I don't think so. 2.5 hours later, I got to the meeting and they were still there waiting. So I got out of the taxi. I was hot. I was flustered. I was fed up. I had to go straight to the pulpit and I preached the worst message in my whole life. I was full of self-pity. I didn't want to be there. And it was horrendous. And you know, I got down from the pulpit and just walked out the service. Got back into the taxi and cried all the way home. And I tell you, God spoke to me. And I don't know exact words, but this is what he said to me. Don't you ever do that again. What do you mean, God? Don't ever do that again. He said, you didn't wait on me. You're whinging. You didn't go into my presence. Just because it worked last week doesn't mean you say it's going to work this week. Don't ever do it again. Well, that made me cry more. But you see, I'd been busy all day doing God's work. But didn't cut it. But you know, the worst thing about this whole story is that it was actually a 2 nights meetings. I had to go back the next night to the same people. Can you imagine it? Well, I didn't want to go. Because I was sure nobody would be there. But I got back in the taxi. Of course, my attitude was different. I prayed so much that day. You have no idea how much I prayed that day. We got there in 25 minutes. Amazing, isn't it? And you know what was more amazing? All the people were still there. They came back with more. And that night was incredible. I don't know, but it must have been a demon-infested place because demons flying everywhere. And I was running around pushing. It was just crazy. But I got back in the car and I learnt a hard lesson. Not adrenaline. Anointing. Anointing takes time. Isaiah 40:31, we won't look it up. It says, wait on the Lord. Isn't that what it says? We need to spend time in prayer, worshipping, praying, wait. I love to sit on my blue chair at home and just sit there and wait. And you know, because God says in his word, that he looks over the parapet of heaven looking for those to strengthen that are righteous. Sometimes I don't say anything for 20 minutes. I just sit there and let him strengthen me to wait patiently on the Lord. That's what he's asking. So the word renew also means exchange. We need to exchange our strength for God's strength. That's what we need to do. That's why I did driving here this morning. With my husband up so upset at home. I made a transaction. But you know, that night in that taxi, I made no transaction. I just complained. Waking up, walking in the anointing means we walk in God. Isn't that right, people? You know, we've got to acknowledge the distinct lack of power in our lives and wait for the anointing to pour in our lives. Don't imitate the anointing. Don't imitate. The anointing of the Holy Spirit is unique. The anointing alone releases the supernatural power of God. Our own efforts will never substitute for the real thing. Never, ever, ever. When I was young, I had an amazing, incredible, you know, I met God when I was 14, but, you know, after a while I went away and I came back when I was about 28 years of age. And that time I went to, someone told me about this small church down the street, and I'd never been to this street. I'd been in churches of Christ. I didn't understand. And this church was really different. I wondered what on earth I walked into. But I'm sitting there and all of a sudden this guy got up there and was preaching and he said, "The shine of glory of God is here." I didn't know even what that was. Most of you don't either, probably. But anyway. And all of a sudden, everybody down. I thought, what, everybody down? And they all dropped to the floor. And I'm standing there. I thought, what do I do? So I dropped to the floor. I couldn't get up. And I dropped to the floor, and I'm looking around, and nothing's happening. I'm thinking, what's all that about? Then they all got up, and the preacher kept on preaching. I thought, man alive, that is ridiculous. Imitating. Expecting manifestations of the Holy Spirit to show up. I mean, that's sensational stuff. You know, it's stupid. You know, it's stupid. And I guess, I'll tell you what happened out of that. I never went back. Because it's demeaning the power of God. You know what? If the shine and glory of God came into this place, I would not have to tell you to drop to the floor. You'd be dropped. Isn't that right? We need to have the faith and courage to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. The measure of the anointing on us grows as our capacity to carry it grows. And you know what that, people? That includes greater development of character. Building godly character increases our ability to carry the touch of God. Amen? Not to rely on ourselves, not to walk in the flesh, but we need to rest and cease from our works. We need to trust in the power of God. Our dependence should be on God. Amen? Praise God. Bremer. Where's Bremer, my amazing musician? I'm not asking you to come out, but where is he? Yeah, I'll see you. You can sit there. I just want to talk to you for a moment. You know, when I started thinking about character, you're a young man of great integrity. You're a young man of great honesty. You are a young man that really thinks deeply. You think very, very deeply, and you think deeply about the things of God. And God has been coming to you, and he has been really working on your character. I'm not for one minute saying your character is not good, but he has been strengthening you in character. He's been speaking to you, and he's been talking to you. And it's like that, you know, you seem to be challenged. And I've come to tell you, you know, whatever you do, you'll get caught if it's wrong. Just warning you. Because God is raising you up. He's raising you up, but he's really working on your area of character. Not because your character's bad, because where he wants to take you, you're going to have a real strength of character. Your character base is going to have to be large to carry. I'm not quite sure what you're doing. I know you're a great musician, but I can see a lot more than that. You've got this tremendous mind. You've got this thinking. I can actually see something coming out of you that's going to change a lot of things. Even in the natural, not just even the spiritual. God is just placing things. You've got a very creative, deep thinking mind. And God has given that to you. Sometimes you find that difficult. Sometimes you find it hard. But you know what? God has made you the way you are. And he's saying to you right now, don't be concerned. I can see you even thinking about the future. Where's all this going? He said, don't be concerned about the future. The only thing to be concerned about at the moment is allow me to touch your life and build your character. Amen? You're a good young man. And the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. I know you're questioning this, but you just wait on him. Let him touch you. You're a good young man. Amen. Praise God. And you all said, come on, you should agree. Don't you agree that's right? Praise God. Praise God. 1 John 2:20 says, but you have an anointing from the Holy One and you know all things. Amen. God wants us that we will know the Spirit of the Lord is on us. Amen. That we won't worry when we're doing things. We won't be doing it with adrenaline. We won't imitate like they did with that shine of glory. Because he has anointed us to preach the gospel wherever, however, and to whoever. Amen? Praise God. You know, the Bible says that we can impart the anointing. So I'm going to pray for people this morning. I probably have to get leaders to help me. Doesn't mean I say I'm going to prophesy or pray long. But, you know, I want to lay hands on people this morning and I just want to impart the anointing. But I'm going to tell you something. It's not a quick fix. I can pray for the impartation of anointing upon your life. People, you have to sustain it. You have to build it. You have to work with it. You have to pray. You have to wait on God. You need to build the anointing in your life. Who wants to change things in their home? Who wants to change things in the community? Who wants to change things in their lives? It's waiting on the Lord and moving in the anointing of God. Amen? Praise God. I'm going to hand over to whoever I'm, to Charlie. And you know, people, and then I'm going to call you. Now, I do close my line so you can't just keep dribbling up and dribbling or dribbling, you know, but even that. But, you know, but I do close the line. But when Charlie's finished and he'll give the call, if you want me to lay hands upon you, and I probably need the leaders as well, just lay hands upon you, impart the anointing, please come. Amen? Praise God. Thank you, Charlie.